So I'm Samuel Chan. I'm the president for the Northeast region for the U.S. Pan-Asian American Chamber of Commerce, the largest Pan-Asian chamber in the country with over 8,000 members and 25 years of history and 6 chapters for the country. And for my, this is not my day job, this is my pro bono work I do on the side. But from my volunteering for the U.S. Pan-Asian American Chamber of Commerce for the last 4 years, I learned that, we, as minority, Asian minority or minority business owners, need a lot of help, constantly, because things is always changing, and I don't care you're doing $1 million of sales to, $100 million of sales to $1 billion of sales, you will always need to want to grow and do more. And in fact, in our membership in the Tri-State area, we have some small company who are just starting out, doing about, less than $1 million in sales. And the largest member that we have, in New Jersey, is doing about $400 million in sales. And they're still coming and attending and learning, because they understand that, I mean, the bigger they get, the more, the more you know, the more you know you don't know. So I think that, so that's why we put you in this hot room here, to test your patience, to test how good you are and how long you can stand here without leaving the room. And in fact, we'll turn up the heat later on. Because, that's what they say, right? You can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. If you're an entrepreneur, in today's economy, it is so challenging, and among all this turbulence in the world, you have to be really good. So today we are very fortunate to have a distinguished panel of 4 experts that know a lot more than I do about how can you help you get, procurement, diversity programs, contract, resources that help your business grow. And I will let them introduce themselves, because that's probably better and easier. Their bios is all on this booklet here, which you all have, I believe. So I'm not going to read all their distinguished long bios, because it takes another 2 hours to read them. And I want you to, the format is we're going to have them introduce themselves first, who they are, what they do in the agencies or the business, and their experiences, and also some of the resources and how to. And then at the end, we will open up some type of questions in Q&A for you. Now, I urge you to take some good notes. Even though this will be taped, you can see this later on in the ARI website. But please seize the moment to ask them some good questions, because it's good to have some good experts. They're very busy people, and I saw them sometimes doing other conferences. It's hard to get them together in one room. And do not ask them Larry King questions. Ask them Piers Morgan's questions. Ask them the tough one. So, but please feel free to ask them. And again, I want to have, we're going to go down the line, have my first panelist, Fumi Kim, who is the director of Opportunity and NWDVE for New York City Economic Development Corporation, to come up here to introduce herself and tell you about what she does and how she can help you, and some of the resources that we have. So give her a big hand of applause.
Good afternoon. So thank you so much to Joyce Moy and Asian American Research Institute for inviting me to speak today. As Savio had mentioned, my name is Bomi Kim. I am Vice President and Director for Opportunity MWDBE, which is New York City Economic Development Corporation's business development program for certified minority women and disadvantaged businesses. Just so ask, how many of you know what New York City Economic Development Corporation is? Have you heard of New York City Economic Development Corporation? You don't know, okay. So New York City Economic Development Corporation is a not-for-profit. We are not a government agency, even though it sounds like we are. We are what you would call sort of a quasi-governmental organization, but we are not actually a city agency. So what that means is that we are not necessarily subject to all the city procurement guidelines, which probably, Anthony will tell you a lot more about. But what we do, EDC is the economic development engine for the city of New York. We are, like I said, as I mentioned, we are a not-for-profit, but our president is appointed by the mayor, and we report directly to the deputy mayor for economic development and rebuilding. So we are subject to, basically, you could kind of sort of see us as a contractor to the city to work on a variety of different projects for the city in the realm of economic development. And that could mean we have projects range from construction, which we do a lot of, as well as property management. We are also sort of like the real estate people for New York City. We dispose of a lot of city's land. And we also are sort of consultant to the city. We hire professional consultants, management consultants, engineers to do a variety of different studies for the city that's used by basically, all different city agencies. That means the kind of services and products that we look for from vendors and, contractors and business people like you vary. It could be from, we're hiring contractors to go out and, dig up the street, to we're hiring management consultants to help us, strategize about how to move the city's economic policy forward. So you could get a lot more information about our program and what EDC does on our website, which is www.nycedc.com. But you could also find out about, by going to that website, you'll be able to find out about different projects and available opportunities for you as a business that are interested in working with us. The first thing I recommend that you do is that you sign up on our vendors list. So those of you who are familiar with the city's procurement process, there's a city's vendors list, but that unfortunately is not something that we have access to, so we have our own vendors list. And we recommend that you get on our vendors list because by doing so, you will be notified of opportunities and available, projects that you could work on by getting on our website. We would notify you. So first thing is get on our vendors list. And that can be done directly through our website. We don't have paper applications. It's all online. So you just need to go online and just submit your information and let us know what you do. And when a project that opens up that falls within your business or your industry, we would notify you. So, and of course, you should always check our website for a variety of different information. And having said that, we do lots of different things. One of the main, sort of our bread and butter is construction. So when we say construction, we look for everything from the beginning when you're designed to actual building. And we have built, stadiums, we have built swimming pools, we dig up streets, we do street improvements. So there's lots of variety of different construction opportunities. That's really when I say that's our bread and butter, I mean, that's where most of our sort of money goes to in terms of buying services and products. But like I said, there are lots of opportunities for a variety of different businesses if that's what you're looking for. So, I mean, I'm not sure how much longer you need to go because I could really go on.
If you want to say something.
Okay. So, I'll be more than happy to answer any questions. And if you have any specific questions about, how to access the type of, projects that we have, definitely, you should definitely ask during the Q&A session. But really, the best way to really learn about us is to go to our website. Okay. It's actually also in the brochures that I brought. It's www.nycedc.com. No, it's .com.
Well, again, I want you to hold all the questions to the end and write it down, and then we can all answer them at the end. Because I'm sure you have similar questions to all of them, to most of them anyway. So please, hold them to the end. We can have them answer all your questions all at the same time. The next I want to have Antonio Zhang, who is the accounting manager from New York City Business Solutions with Queens Center. Thank you.
Thank you all for coming today. As already mentioned, my name is Antonio Zhang. I'm account manager of the NYC Business Solutions Queens Center. If you haven't done so, I do have our one-pager up here. It actually highlights all of our no-cost services. Essentially, we're a set of services offered by the city's Department of Small Business Services to help your business start, operate, and expand in New York City. We do provide a variety of different services. In addition to just kind of the selling to government, I'll just go over briefly what it is, just in case it's something that your company or your business can take advantage of, like right now or somewhere down the line. We do have a lot of different business courses to help you start up your business, plan your business, market your business, and handle the accounting side. They're all for free. They're held at all of the centers. There's one in each borough. There's actually three in Manhattan, uptown, and also downtown Manhattan. Besides that, we also work with a variety of different lawyers that offer pro bono legal assistance if you're looking to sign a contract or lease for the business, or you have some sort of intellectual property that you want to know how to protect it. We can make that legal referral for you. In addition, the city itself is not a bank, but we work with all the major banks and community organizations throughout the city that have loan programs. So our role here would be to help you identify like one or two lenders that make the most sense and help you work on the application before you actually meet with the loan officer and submit that financing. So the range can be anywhere from like $500 to maybe $20,000 for like an alternative lender. And the banks, obviously, you know, they can go like the millions of dollars. And again, we'll match you up with one or two that make the most sense. The city also offers a lot of different incentives, either to tax breaks or energy savings. And it falls under four general categories. Now you're looking to relocate to certain parts of the city, purchase equipment, hire or train employees, or if you're looking to purchase equipment, there's a lot of things, again, city, state, or federal level that you might be eligible for. Before you do any buying, signing the contracts, let us know, and we'll refer you to the appropriate point agencies to kind of take advantage of saving money. Other things we can help you with is you're looking to hire employees. We can definitely help you that by offering no-cost recruitment assistance. Let us know the job openings you may have. We'll do the initial screening, advertisement, and then refer them over to you, again, all at no cost. So you do save time and money on the whole recruitment process. The city did a study about like a year or two ago, and for every hire that we had assisted with, it was about $720 saved per person, per company. So that's a lot of money saved if you look at that, 3-4 employees at a time. And we also have like a training fund. It's like a cost-sharing program with the city if you're looking to train employees. And right now, they're really widening up the training. So it could be anything that you want, from ESL, customer service, to like the hard skills, like computer training. And right now, the city has like specific trainings like in lean manufacturing, Excel, QuickBooks. And later on, they're going to have like include medical billing and medical coding. So if you have employees that you feel could take advantage of some of those skills, let us know, and we'll work with you on applications. But of course, we're all here to learn how to like self to government. And the city has a couple of different programs that you can definitely sign up for. One of the things that I would urge you all strongly to do is, whether you just started the business or if you had it for a number of years, is sign up to become on the vendor list with the city. You can do it online. I'll give you the website right now. If you go to nyc.gov/sellto-nyc, that's the S-E-L-L-T-O-N-Y-C, you're going to complete what's called the vendor enrollment application. It's very simple. It's just your contact information, company name, federal tax ID number, and the most important thing is what's called the bidder's code list. Basically, it's a 5-digit number that identifies the services and products that your company is able to offer. With this, it's about like a 60-something page PDF file. There's no need for you to even print out all 60 pages. The best thing to do is just do a keyword search on everything that you're able to offer. And with this, this is a situation where the more you put in, the better off you're going to be, because the city itself is only going to contact you based on what you have to offer. There's about 30 different agencies. Each agency offers their own procurement process. So once you're on that list, you're good for all of those agencies. And it's really up to you to really develop that relationship with each agency that you want to do business with, and let them know and market yourself and your company. That way you can kind of be in the front line, so to speak, as far as contract opportunities are concerned. The city also has what's called a MWB program. It stands for Minority Woman-Owned Business Enterprise. It's a special certification that the city offers, and it gives an extra advantage to minority or woman-owned businesses in gaining city contracts. There's minimum criteria is basically you have to be in business for at least 1 year. You have to do business in New York City, and obviously you have to be at least 51% minority or woman-owned. And it's a great way for a small business looking for another customer base, especially the government, and knowing how to sell it. So, and what happens is you get put on the list, and you get to attend different networking events specifically for MWB-certified businesses. You get assigned a procurement specialist who's supposed to help you identify certain opportunities that might best fit you and your company, and try to help you a little bit on the actual bidding process as far as how to help you fill out some of the applications, which sometimes can be a couple of different pages to 10, 20 pages, and a lot of times it's very frustrating for a small business that doesn't have the resources that a lot of these bigger companies might have just to sell to the government. I also have my business card up here. Definitely feel free to reach out to me, give me a call, send me an email. We're always very responsive and very willing to help out small businesses throughout the city.
What is your name again?
My name is Antonio. You can actually pick up my business card. Okay. It's up here. Name, phone number, email. It's all here. All right.
Thank you, Antonio. Thank you.
Can you explain the business code? We're supposed to wait to the end to ask questions?
Yeah, let's do it at the end. Because otherwise, everybody will ask the same questions. Okay, our third speaker is a regular speaker. All the time, you see her all the time in all the panels. She's always around. It's Manly Lin. She is the Business Development Specialist for USSBA. So, Manly.
Hi, my name is Manly Lin. I work for SBA. So, some of you, I already talked to you. SBA provides financing. We guarantee the loan. Okay, so I don't go through the detail. We also provide technical assistance. Okay, so we have resource partner. We give them funding. So they do one-on-one counseling. So each borough, actually, we have at least three organizations there help you. Small Business Development Center, Women Business Center, and a school counseling there. So if you need, they do the one-on-one counseling. So you can, some of them, you have to make appointment first. So they can help you to do, to write your business plan, okay? Or you have any questions regarding how to run or start your own business, you can contact them. Also, government contracting, okay, this year, actually, President Obama request, actually, we have to focus on two things this year. One is international trade business. The other one is government contracting. We want to make sure small businesses can get, you know, the government contracting and can expand their business to, you know, the global, to the global market. So I will go to the detail later. I think most of you got two packages from me. Good news. Okay, the first one, women-owned business, small business, federal contract program. This is totally new. Okay, this is my training information in February and won't start until April. So you are the first group to learn about this, okay? So we already fight for this, and we tried to discuss this for more than 10 years, that we want to set aside some government contracting, we want to set aside for women-owned business. But really happened, okay? So right now is the time that for you, if you have business, should try to certify. So as soon as now April 1st, you see any contract that you're interested in, or you think that's good for your company and you are eligible for those programs, then you can get that contract. We hope that the end of April, the first contract can go to the women-owned business. Okay, so this is good news for you. All the details here, there are two, if we look at the first page, the third one, WOSB is Women-Owned Small Business. And the other one is Economically Disadvantaged Women-Owned Small Business. It depends on like how much your net worth and your income, okay? But the certification is really easy. That's why I'm happy. Compared to the city one, city you need to sit down with somebody, right, and certify for you. For the federal level, you certify for women-owned business. You just go online, certify by yourself. It's self-certified, okay? So you just go to online. I think they already started the end of February. There are two boxes there. You can just check that you are women-owned business. That's it. Okay. So eligibility requirement. Most of you know that more than 51% owned by women. Okay. One or two. And you have to be the day-to-day operated by the women, okay? And the long-term decision have to be made by women. The women have power, okay? okay, we turn to page two, okay? So I always joking, okay? I say if a couple want to have a company, it's better give wife 51%. Okay, and, so you can be minority or not minority, but at least you can get women on business advantage for the 51%, okay? There are a lot of detail, but I think most of you will be qualified. But there's one key point. There are only 83 industries. Okay, you can use this program. And on our website, okay, I list here our website. You have to go to our website to find out the 83 different industries. But I already checked. Most of factory, no problem, construction, and even academic school, okay, language school or translation, even, so I think actually including most of the medical field too. So actually very broad. So in the beginning I just say, oh, only 83 industry maybe will limit a lot of women on business, but actually it's very good. Accounting firm, those are all included. So you have to go to the website, first one, you know, make sure that you are in those industry and certify yourself. Okay. From page 3, actually, I want to combine, okay, we have several men here. So the other topic is how to sell to the federal government. Okay, it's a long process, and you need to spend time and energy to do that. But I'm glad that to know a lot of you haven't started your own business yet. So it's very good to build up good financial statement and good relationship with those government agencies. Last year, we know that more than $500 billion government contracting. Government, federal government, I'm talking about federal level, 23% of the government, federal government contracting has to go to small business. Okay, 5% have to go to minority business. We call economically and we call culturally, okay, disadvantaged. So we have a special program called 8A, a certification. For women-owned business, you can certify by yourself. But for the 8A and the Hub Zone, you have to certify through SBA. And the difference, women-owned business, you just certify, you know, by yourself, is no matter how many years you have in your business. And that's lifetime, you can use that certification. But for the 8A company, you have to only one time, okay, 9 years. So I always, and you have to be in business at least 2 years to certify for that. So I always tell the startups, don't rush, okay? You have to make sure your company is very, already have established well. And you because you have to make sure you can comply with those government contracting request regulation. Okay, if you cannot complete those projects, you have to be penalized too. So make sure you have the good foundation, then you get government contracting. Okay, there are a lot of the information here. Okay, like I said, please leave me your email address. I will send you the PowerPoint presentation. Especially a lot of websites right now, actually, federal government, they try to just build up, they combine all the websites together. So you can just go to one website and you can access to all of them. So they are, you know, very good. I just, every day I go over there, I see something new. They build up a very good website for everybody. So you can even right now, okay, after you certify for the 8A, for the Hub Zone, or the women business, but don't wait there. Nobody will just knock on your door and say, we will have contract we want to give to you. You have to do the research. Okay, for the federal government contracting, if less than $3,000, they don't have to post the contract. Okay, so for example, like in my office, if we want to buy some suppliers, if I'm the officer, procurement officer, if I like you, I work with you before, I think you're reliable, you're very responsible, I will just continue, just, you know, buy things from you. Okay, I don't have to, you know, just submit that, and you have to submit a proposal. So you know how important that if you have good relationship with that person. Okay. One of the government agencies, they told me, they say, you know, one person, one company, they call him like every other day, just say hello. So he say, you know, he got the first contract, he's very responsible. So he say, of course, you know, when I want to buy something, he just call me, and I, of course I will buy from him. I will say, oh, okay, I need this. Okay, so just keep in mind, you have to spend time to build up the relationship with those procurement officers. And right now, it's very good things that we have website, so for the government opportunities. So for the all the contracts more than $3,000 up to $10,000, they have to post there and have the contact information. So a lot of people, they told me, they say, there's a website that they can get the government contracting for us. Don't believe that, okay? You don't believe anybody can get contracting for you. You can, they want to make money from you. So you can go over there and contact the person directly and build up, ask them about all the details, information, and contact that person. That's your job, okay? And to show that you will be responsible, you will be contacting all the time. Let them trust you, okay? There are a lot of information here. I put down how you can market your business and all the steps important for you. But this is just important for you to certify yourself, and because right now 5% of the government contracting set aside for women-owned business. 5% for the minority business. So if you're a minority and women-owned business, you have 10% of the opportunities. It's a lot, okay, from $500 billion. So keep in mind, and we every month in our office, actually, we have orientation. And if you want to submit the 8A certification, you can contact us. I can arrange somebody sit down with you one-on-one and just check for you all the documentation and before you send out. So we are here to help you. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mandy. It's good information. Last but not least, we have one of our own entrepreneurs who, for the last 13 years, has been successfully doing business as a woman-owned business herself, and she gets a contract from large companies and agencies, so she will tell you more about what she can do to help you. And her name is Felicitas Issa. She's the president of Issa Associates. Please join me in welcoming her.
Good afternoon. How many of you have been in business for 2 years? 1 year? So all startups, mostly? Oh, okay. Well, you have a long road ahead of you. Exciting, but a long road. My name is Felista Sizar. I'm the president of ISAR Associates. We are an information technology company. We are focused on infrastructure. So projects that we have done are data center consolidation, server migration, quality management, desktop management. We're more on the infrastructure as opposed to the programming end of things. Customers that we have are Unisys, Verizon, Northrop. We've done business with state government, commercial, of course, and federal government indirectly through the primes. As a small business, Manly is talking about federal contracting, and I want to touch up a little bit about that. In order to do federal contracting, you really need to figure out exactly, well, first of all, you step back and say, what is the service that I'm offering? You have to be very focused when you go and talk to them. Then you look at all the agencies in D.C., and there's a lot of agencies in D.C. So you have to do a lot of research and say, how does my service complement what these agencies are looking for? So it's really a lot of research on the website, one thing. Then you target an agency, because there's HHS, there's DHS, and there are different sub-agencies within each of those. Target an agency, target a sub-agency, and then do research. I mean, I cannot emphasize and
Manly had mentioned it. You really have to do a research. You cannot go and take a contractor officer's name, call him and say, I want to come in and meet with you, because if you don't have anything meaningful to say, that's the end of your story. So you really need to understand what the agency does, understand what the need, understand what projects they are letting out, and more importantly, how does your project complement with the need? Because if there is the need, if there is no need, you don't really want to go there, because there is no sense, they're not going to buy. So from a really understanding what the customer needs, I cannot overemphasize, but research is really the key. As far as certification is a good thing. Every single agency organization requires you to certify before they even talk to you. But certification is a vetting process. You go through a big application, you declare your company, you declare your financials, you declare your business, how you do things, etc. Once you get certified, then the companies are very more open to working with you, because they know that you have been fully vetted. Certification is a way for companies to know that they are a business that they can work with. It doesn't guarantee you any contracts. It doesn't guarantee you anything. The thing that guarantees you contract are relationship, have a good service, and a reputation that you provide good service. You don't want to offer a broad array of services. Being a smaller company, you want to be focused, because if you actually figure out that, if you can communicate that this is your niche and they trust that you can deliver that service, they will be more likely to work with you. Sorry, what are my questions?
That's good. Well, okay, we'll do questions later on.
Okay. All right. So those are the things that I wanted to share up front. And if there are other questions related to that, I'll answer later.
Well, I know it's a lot to digest, but I think that, you know, it all boils down to a few things, right? So we can, number one is to do your homework, right, and make sure you do your research and find out what it takes to be getting on the vendor list, and how to make yourself more qualified, how do you get certified. That's step one, right? And then what can you offer these, you know, agencies or clients or customers that are unique and special, and how do you communicate that to them, right? And then how do you differentiate yourself when you compete with all the other successful and small and hardworking company who also work 24 hours a day like you do. So how do you differentiate yourself? So there's a lot of things you can do to compete for the business. It's not easy. It's very challenging. But at the same time, as history has told us, that if you are good, you can be very successful in a very short time also. So I want to open up for questions right now. If you have any questions about, you know, what you want to ask, you can ask the panelists right now, and tell us about what you want to direct it to, so that they can answer questions together. Anybody have any questions so far? Maybe I can ask them first, right? So then they can follow my lead, right? So after you get on the vendor list or get registered or get certified, you know, they want to find out more about opportunities, and should they, you know, calls, they email, what do they do to follow up and find out more about opportunities and what they can do? Should they just call, should they email, should they call you? You know, I know you guys are all very busy people. If they all call you, you'll be just, you know, dying, right? You can, right? So what would you suggest the best way for them to follow up with you after they've done all their own research and registrations and all this, you know, first base?
Well, I mean, just to speak for EDC, EDC is, unlike some of the other agencies, we don't have dedicated buyers. So for you to call us, it really doesn't help.
So don't call her.
I mean, you can definitely call me, but I'm not a I'm not a buyer. But there are some agencies that will buy, they have dedicated personnel that will buy services, a specific type of service or a specific type of supply. But EDC does not operate that way. We're a very small organization that covers a lot of different ground. So when we have to go out and procure services or products, each project manager, depending on what their project is, will go out and do their own sort of procurement. I mean, we have definitely a contract and development department that does all the contracting work that leads up to it. But a project manager will say, like, I have an X type of project and I need X type of service. So they will draft an RFP and that will go out. But you can't, so that means basically you would have to call everybody in our corporation to find out what we're doing. So the best way really to contact EDC is really to go through our website. We advertise all of our procurements, which means that anytime we are going to let out a bid, let out an RFP request, it's on our website. So if you're on our vendors list, you're going to get automatically notified. So that, and then, and obviously getting on our vendors list is really the key in terms of getting that information out. So getting, and also what happens with our vendors list is that for certain type of procurements, especially that are considered to be small contracts, sometimes they will not get advertised at all because of the fact that their dollar values are so small, which is where sometimes a lot of small businesses will have a lot of chance at. But for those projects, we use our vendors list. So what we'll do is we'll go through our vendors list, and based on the type of work that you were requiring, we'll sort of do an automatic search and it'll pull up some of the vendors that we would just go out to and say, like, this is what we're trying to do, give us a price. So definitely getting on our vendors list will obviously put you in that play. Because otherwise, we don't know that you're out there. So if we're not advertising, how are we going to find you and how are you going to find us? And you know, the way to do it is our vendors list.
So how long, on average, to they will get on the vendor list? How long did it take for them to get on the list? Is that
the vendors list? No. The vendors list is very simple. It's just it's an online application. You tell us who you are, what you do, and if you're a certified firm, we ask you to submit your certification information. And give us any information about you. So basically what happens is when our project managers, especially for small contracts that's not going to be publicly procured, are going to go through the list and say, like, okay, who, based on their company profile, fits what we're trying to look for. And based on, if you tell us what your experiences are, what kind of projects you've done in the past, what is your capacity, then it gives us a better idea of, like, okay, is this a good company that we're going to go out to and get a price from?
Right.
So What you need to do is get on our vendors list, and we tell you, like, if you have additional information you want to provide us, please send it to us. You could email it or you could mail it, and there's directions on how to do that when you apply to our vendors list. So once you receive our vendors list, we have our vendors people go through it, and we'll say, you know, quote, approve. I mean, the approval just means we want to make sure that you're not putting in any dummy information, because we've had people do that where, like, their phone numbers are 123456, you know? So we want to make sure that you're an actual company. And once that's been sort of verified, you get an email saying that, you know, you're now, you know, welcome to EDC. Vendors list, provide any additional information you want. And once we get that information, we keep it, and it goes into our files. And when our project manager comes in and says, you know, I have this project, this is, you know, it's going to be like $20,000, how do I go out and find somebody to meet this need?
So to get on the list, make sure that you get on the list immediately to that, and to go home so that you can actually get on the list so they know who you are, right? And questions for you?
Yes. The question is directed to Bowman. I know you said that the NYC, the EDC, you guys specifically deal with economic developments.
Mm-hmm.
So on the vendors list, the question I am asking is the vendors list only limited to construction materials, like raw materials, such
as
cement, lumber?
So when you go on the vendors list and to apply, and just like how the city's vendors list is, there are codes, basically says. And we try to mirror ours following the city's vendors list a little bit, but obviously we don't buy as much products or services as the entire city would. So we sort of tailor that list to fit what we know and, you know, what we buy and we the kind of services we would procure. But like I said, that could range from, you know, security guards that may work on our construction projects as, you know, for construction security, as well as, you know, accountants who could do auditing for us. So it really varies. But so, I mean, say you're on our vendors list and you're trying to do it and you don't see your particular type of work, the chances are we may or may not buy your product. Maybe it's not on there because we just don't buy enough of it. So we don't want to discourage anyone from getting on our vendors list or trying to work with us. But at a certain point, you have to make the decision of, like, which agency has the most potential for me. So if you are a, you know, an X company that provides a service, and I tell you that I only do construction, it doesn't make any sense for you to, like, you know, concentrate your efforts on me.
Antonio?
Yeah, you can absolutely call me if you want, like, the technical assistance as far as how to fill out the vendor enrollment application or how to become city certified. As far as each agency goes, they have a dedicated person. It's called the ACO, which is just a agency chief contracting opportunity. That's the point person that you want to be able to talk to, email, call, try to set up meetings if you can, and develop a relationship with that person, because that's the person that's going to be in charge of putting out the different bids, the different procurement opportunities. So just like what's been already stated, it's research what agencies are looking to buy what you have to offer. And those should be the ones that you contact first and develop the relationship. A lot of times with these contracts, it's not even put out to bid to the general public. It's a matter of, does that agency know who you are and what you can do? And the agency will call you directly. So to give you, like, a really good example, for usually contracts less than, like, $100,000 in value, it doesn't get put out to bid. The city uses what's called, like, a 5-in-5 rule. They'll contact five companies that are not minority or woman-owned, and they'll contact five companies that are minority or woman-owned. So essentially, instead of you competing against one out of, like, 200-300 companies, you have basically, like, a 1-in-10 shot of getting that contract. And they will only call you if they know who you are. So with dealing to the government, you have to be a little bit proactive and seek out the opportunities for your company rather than the other way around. Just because you get on some lists, you can get certified at all different levels of government, you could apply for all different vendor lists. If you're not proactive, if not seeking opportunities, no one's going to contact you. All right.
Thank you, Antonio. Manny, anything to add?
Okay. For the federal procurement, there is a PTAC, Procurement Assistance Center. That's very good because they are not only deal with federal, state, city. They have different, even some private company. They have a lot of resources, so they can help you. Depends on your companies, you know, what do you want and the amount that you can offer. So they can find a good resource for you. So let's look for that. Also, I forgot to mention, there is a CCR, is a contractor. Yeah. It's a central contractor registration, CCR. As soon as you register your company, everybody should go ccr.gov and just register your company there. It's a free advertisement for you. Okay, all the government agency, they have to, this is like a database for federal government contracting. So they have to be in there. And big company, they are looking for subcontractor, they will go over there too. Okay, so that's free. So you should just put yourself there. And then there are different ways. Depends on your company, actually. Don't just call somebody and say, do you want to buy this? It doesn't work, okay? You have to see what they need, okay? So just have to see your company's products and services.
Thank you. I want you to cover for instance the commercial side, you know, in terms of selling to the large corporations like Verizon and Northrop Grumman. How do you call them? Do you email them to death? What do you do?
I wanted to give you a perspective from where you're sitting, which is the contractor side of it. One of the things that you can do is really join associations. There is a vendor, there's NMSPC, which is the supplier association. It's nationwide, they have different chapters on every region. And then there's Savio, which has another organization.
You can call me.
So, and there's a couple more, but what I could advise you guys is start looking at the associations. Start joining them and start networking, because these folks that you see here, they could be in one of those functions. And like what we said, is relationship. The more you see them now, it's okay. You see them the following meeting, then it's a little bit more warmer. And as you see them, you create a relationship with them. And that's really how you learn what's going on in the different organizations. That is really very true for commercial. With government, it's a little bit more involved, but it's really the same concept. Go to all these associations, keep meeting people, tell them what you do, tell them how good you are, and just do that over and over again.
Well, great. Any other questions from the audience? Yes?
Ms. Kim, what percentage of your contracts go to minority women in business?
We do have a dedicated minority women business program. So basically all of our contracts go out with minority women goals. So we definitely look for MWBE participation on our contracts, both on professional and construction levels. Currently our goals are 25 and 30. So 30% on professional services and 25 on construction services. That's our current goal in fiscal year 2011. Right now, our average participation on MWBEs is anywhere between 30 and 38%, depending on the projects. So, and we are, because we're a private agency, but the funding that we get are from public sources, meaning we get money from the federal government through Department of Transportation. We get money from the city. We also get money from the state. So depending on what our funding sources are, will determine what type of goals we set and how we set them.
But I also want to add to, don't underestimate the power of certifications, because, from what I know, very few people, very few small businesses or minority offices actually get to go through the process of getting themselves certified. So if you're certified, it's an additional edge for you to get some points from different agencies to get more business and opportunity to you. So it's important for you to go through the process and get certified. It's very important for the agency.
Yeah, and I just want to say something about the certification. Because of the fact that we are sort of, this is something that we're very interested in, growing in terms of the people who are participating in our projects. But as I had mentioned, that we had different regulatory mandates in terms of meeting MWBE goals. A lot of those goals are done through our primes. So we hire a prime, and those primes are obligated to go out and find subcontractors or subconsultants who will meet those goals. So that's why it's really important, one, that when you are meeting with potential contractors who could hire you to become subs on that project for us, that you talk about the fact that you're certified, that you are someone who's going to help them meet the obligations that we have put forth to them.
Right, let me translate for you. What she means by prime is the 800-pound gorilla, the bigger contractor. And if you're a smaller company just starting out, a lot of times you want to work with the prime, the larger company who's been doing it for a long time. They have to subcontract some of their work to smaller companies to show good faith or with a requirement to the large agencies that, hey, they're helping these smaller companies to succeed. So it's important to work with them too. Yeah. Anyone want to add anything?
For the
Manny?
Federal government contracting before, sometimes you have to bonding with the big company right now. So they want to change that. They want to help the small business. So several small businesses can bond together to get a big contract. There's a new policy.
So you can combine together.
Right.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah, I want to add a little bit to that. We are one of the companies that Miley is talking about. We wanted to go after a big federal contract. And as a small company, you just don't have the resources to do a full-blown contract. Plus, also, you don't have enough breadth of service to do it. So I'm part of a five-company group that we form what we call a CTA. And we team together to go after one contract. We just put our application in February, and we're looking to see if we are going to be considered or be awarded. It's going to be something in June or July. Yeah, so it is a way to be able to get to the big contract, even though you have you're a smaller company. Teaming is really good.
Yeah, so it's important to team up with smaller, other firm or larger company to go after the things together. And that will help you save a lot of time and make yourself look stronger to the opportunities, right? Anybody want to add on that? Antonio?
At the city level, there's also percentages that have to go to the minority-owned business, woman-owned business, and even within that, there's like subdivisions like Black, Asian, non-minority women. So, there's definitely opportunities out there, and even subcontract opportunities, especially in the construction field, a lot of the capital improvement projects tend to go to the larger firms, but even within those contracts, they do have a requirement to be able to subcontract to minority women-owned businesses, and this is where those certifications definitely help you out.
Well, thank you. I think the time is getting close to 4 o'clock now. I think it's 4 o'clock now. I think the important thing I think is to do is to help them help you. Make sure you do your homework. Make sure you do your own research. Make sure you don't waste their time. But make sure you reach out to them also to build a relationship with them so they can be successful. So they'll be staying behind a little bit. And please feel free to come up to ask them questions, get the business card, get to know them, get the information. I want to thank you for attending. And I wish you the best. Thank you.